Hi, guys. How's everyone doing today? All right, good. I'm glad you're doing good. How are you? I'm so glad that you're here. Personally, just you. Everyone else? A bit more energy would be lovely. My name is Ashley. My name is Ashley Docking. I host on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm also the moderator for Homestand Sports. And I'm here to tell you that there's a lot to be celebrating here tonight. So first, we have a triple banger, okay? Three panels. We don't really do that much at Hoop Talk, so that's exciting. Yes. Secondly, and you're going to hate me for doing this, Kevin, but founder of Homestand Sports and the man who puts this all on, Kevin Kennedy, he needs a congratulations. He's a new father for the second time over. So congratulations, Kevin. And then finally, and maybe most exciting for everyone else here, the Raptors are going to the NBA Finals, yeah? Maybe a lot of laughter. That was an interesting reaction. We will dive into that then, because we have three panels, as I mentioned. So a little bit later on, we're going to have the OGs come on the stage. So I'm talking Doug Smith, I'm talking Sherms, I'm talking Jonesy. They're going to be the final panel of the night. And then the middle panel is going to be the athletic panel-ish. So it's Blake Murphy, Eric Kareen, as well as Laura Armstrong, which is amazing. And now, though, I'm very happy to introduce the first panel of the night. First of all, William Liu, please, from The Score. We have Katie Hindle, who's a writer for tons of places, The Athletic. You have Rolling Stone, I believe, The Real GM as well. Katie's a star. And your first time at Hoop Talk, so welcome, welcome. And then last but not least, Vivek Jacob is going to join us as well. He's a freelance writer for a ton of places, Sportsnet, The Athletic. What else am I missing? Vice Sports, Raptors Republic. Wow, you don't have to show off, Vivek. God, I just needed one more. Guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I was really rattled earlier, actually, and I was telling Laura when I first came in because I didn't know, and this is completely off-brand. This has nothing to do with basketball. But you can get a ticket for eating while you drive. Did you know that?
That makes sense.
Did you guys know that? No? Well, this is a PSA. Congratulations. You learned something here today at the very beginning. So you can't have a burger and your drink and be like driving with your knee. That's a ticket. It's like $500.
So. Seems fair.
Does it? I'm really good at it. Anyway, thank you guys for being here so much at Hoop Talks. Let's talk about, actually, something that I wanted to get into is even more relevant now because the Cavs just traded Kyle Korver to the Jazz, so he's headed. Oh, breaking news, everybody.
Y'all don't have
refresh
Twitter?
Refresh your like, Twitter feeds, hello.
That happened like an hour ago.
Wow, that's the closest I'll ever feel to being like Waj in my life. I've peaked. I've officially peaked. So, yes, Kyle Korver is going to Utah. Two second-round picks going back. And Alec Burks. So that's, if you're having a bad day, just think of what he's going through today because it's tough for him, too. But I want to know what you guys think of vets saying that they want to be traded. Because J.R. Smith was an example, right? He's like, I don't want to play for this team. They're trash. They're tanking. I want to contend. I'm older. Is that something that's reasonable for you? For someone who's getting paid a ton of money to do a job for a certain organization to be like, I'm not playing unless you move me.
I think it's kind of become normalized just because of the LeBron move. Everything after that, you know, it's all about player movement in the league now. It's exciting. So when players recognize that they don't want to be part of a certain situation, they just open up and are honest about it and say that they want to move on. And if you do it the right way, I think if you do it privately first and, you know, voice your concerns, I think that's the right way to go about it. But I think we saw with the Jimmy Butler situation that it can go the other way too. So I think it's all about how it's handled. If you do it privately and, you know, just say, I'm in a different place, this is what I want to do, I think it can work out well for both sides.
Yeah, I agree with Vivek. I mean, I think this like new era of player autonomy is really cool and exciting, and I think it's important. It's like it's really setting a tone for a lot of the young guys in the league that they can be a huge decision maker in their own careers, which I think is very important.
I feel like as a GM, you'd be petty. Like if I came to you and I was like, "Will, like I really this is just something I'm not really happy with. I want to move." Like you would make sure I stayed.
as a GM? I mean,
like, would you be okay with that?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think if you follow, like, if you're a big footy fan, for example, right?
Okay.
Like, this has just been a thing forever. Like, players move, and, like, it's really normalized. It's really just part of the culture in terms of who gets to decide the future of players. And I think, again, you look across Europe, like, players move all the time. They just basically tell people, they hand in a transfer. It's like a big news. Everyone knows about it. And then sometimes it gets through, sometimes it doesn't. And I think ultimately, like, what leverage are you really losing as a team to be like, hey, I want out? It's like, oh, all of a sudden that cuts the team's leverage. It's like, well, I mean, when the team calls you and it's like, hey, we have J.R. Smith available, like, at that point, the cat's out of the bag, right? So I don't know. I'd be okay. But as a GM, I think I'd be more like Masai, you know? Like, just ruthless, like, you know? I'll be like, yo, Damar, you got to work on your defense. We're going to win the title if you get good defensively. And it's like, just kidding. We got Kawhi. We got better defensively,
JK.
Just without you, you know? So
yeah, thanks for putting in the work. You're still gone.
Yeah.
Got to go. You kind of mentioned that players are taking things into their own hands, and they're doing that across the media landscape as well. The Players Tribune was a huge deal. Everyone was kind of interested to see how that would turn out. To me personally, there are some really good stories, but sometimes it does feel a little bit public relations motivated, where you're not really sure the authenticity of it. But one way that NBA players specifically have done a really good job of is podcasting. So you have JJ, who has one, Danny Green has one now, CJ McCollum has one now, and I feel like I really enjoy it, because one of the big pushes that we've heard a lot about is diversity in media and different representation. And that's a perfect example of a different voice and someone who's actually in the mix talking out loud to the masses and everybody hearing them.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, these players are more than just basketball players, right? And now they have so many mediums in which they can show that. And there's the podcast route. You can see what LeBron's doing with his shows on HBO. And so I think they just recognize that opportunity and they're taking advantage of it. Obviously, there's times in the media where things can be misconstrued. So this gives them a chance to just give their side of things. And that might not always be the truth either. You know, I think we've seen
a skeptic. Oh my gosh.
Well, I find it funny, right? Like, we've seen Kyle Lowry in the Players Tribune say that, you know, I've always wanted to be a Raptor, this is where I want to be, and all that kind of stuff. But we've also seen him try to move when he's had the opportunity as well. So there's both sides of it.
Yeah, but like, how many times do you write something and then the next day you're like, I still feel that way? You know, like, I think,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, I have to disagree. I love the Players Tribune. I think it's, like, super corny, but, like, really heartwarming. And I've, like, definitely teared up reading a lot of those things. Like, I think they're definitely more of, like, an as told to rather than the players. Like, but I do like to picture them sitting.
How many of the Disney movies on Netflix have you watched? Oh, really? Okay, because you're like, I like them. They're corny. They're heartfelt. And I'm like, I've watched at least five of those ones that they keep goddamn recommending me.
No, I never fall for that. But I think it's really, like, that's one of the best things about the league. And I think it really started with, like, Twitter, to be honest, because it's such an outward-facing medium. And, like, the NBA is pretty unique for that. And I think in the fact that they encourage their players to get out there, to have a voice and to have an opinion, and they're not necessarily, like, even slapped on the wrist for it. Like, it does definitely, like, engage fans more, which I think sells more tickets, obviously. But I do, like, I'll take as much as I can get. So more podcasts, bring them on.
Also, podcasts, very easy to get into. Very low production.
You have one.
I have one. That's why.
Speaking
that's why,
of,
that's why
podcasts,
I know it's a, I have multiple, to be honest. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's really easy to start a podcast. And, like, the hardest part about podcasting is really just finding interesting people to actually talk to. And I think people are always interested in players. And so, I mean, like, a good microphone is like $140. That's like maybe 10 seconds of playing time for JJ Redick this season or something like that. So, like, you know, you just get that. You get a laptop and, you know, you buy a SoundCloud subscription. Like, it's really easy, guys. It's it's great that the players get to tell their story. So I think, like, you see it, like, with Serge Ibaka, right? Like, we've all talked to Serge, like, you know, in the media and stuff. He can be not reserved, but it's like you're always cautious when you talk to the media because it feels like a professional setting. But then you see Serge go on his own cooking show, or you see Serge go on the Danny Green podcast, and you're like, man, this is a side of Serge I didn't know. I didn't know he was such a silly, gregarious dude. Because otherwise, he seems like he takes himself mad seriously. But for the most part, he's just making fun of himself in those TV shows. You know, he's giving people nicknames. He's eating brain. Like, not even sexually. That's just, he's just straight up eating brains.
Oh my God, William! Mom, it took 5 minutes.
People are drinking here. We're all mature people. But I mean, like, you know, it's good that we get to see that side. And it's great for us as fans. I think in terms of the critical news breaking and stuff like that, like, I think we all know that sports media operates on a different sort of set of rules than like political journalism does or whatever. Like, it's not as serious, right? And whether you get to the truth or not is not as important, because, like, let's be real, like, you can kind of tell that if Woj tweets out something, like, it's chances are it's either coming from an agent or it's coming from a team, and they're trying to sell a narrative just like players would be. So I think it's great.
Whose podcast would you subscribe to in a second if they had one?
Surge. Definitely. A video podcast with Surge. It's like a Ustream with Surge. I don't think Ustream's around anymore.
How much would you pay for it? Would you pay?
No, actually, I don't pay for any online content. I feel bad. Except The Athletic. I have an Athletic subscription, guys. Go get one. Use the promo code Blake Murphy.
I just got one and a t-shirt.
Nice.
Black Friday special. Thanks, Athletic.
Boogies.
Oh, that would be a really good one.
Or JaVale McGee's.
I'm going with
the Parking Lot Chronicles, right? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm going with Joel Embiid. I think anything he does is just gold. So if you got an episode with Drummond on there and they're just going back and forth, I think that would be amazing.
Boogie's an interesting character because he gets a really bad reputation, and some of it is warranted. Like, we saw that outburst with that reporter 2 years ago, I believe it was, when he got caught on film basically berating him in a scrum. And I know our friend Doug Smith has feelings about Boogie. I don't know where he is right now. Doug? Oh, hi. He has some feelings about Boogie, and you know, some of the stories that go on about him are true, but it seems like it would be an opportunity for almost like a second chance or like a rehab of his image if he were to do something like that. Although kind of playing for the Warriors does that for a second. Like, everyone else that went to the Warriors was a bad guy, but Boogie went there and I felt like he had to kind of like clean up his image.
He became a good guy.
Yeah.
Especially now, like, he's sitting on the bench and is like
breaking up fights.
Outfits. And yeah, he's like, he's breaking up all the fights. He's like a very calming presence there.
He was the voice of reason when KD and Draymond were going at it. So yeah, there's the image change right there.
Yeah, and he's wearing a Chinese opium sunglasses, basically.
He looks amazing.
Like, all the time. Like, he's always looking like Dr. Eggman from Sonic. So.
But they always match his outfit.
It's good. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to find outfits that fit that. I mean, you basically just have to, you know, have a pipe of being in China in the 1800s, you know?
That's why he and John Wall need to be on the same team.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. Wow.
Go ahead. Feel free to finish that thought.
I mean, honestly, like, I think we should have known that the Wizards were going to collapse when we saw that John Wall picture in Las Vegas, because everyone was like, oh, that's just an unflattering, like, photo. It's like, nah, man, nah.
The meat sweats and, like, the scruff and,
he looked like
the
he
bloating.
Didn't shower for, like, a month.
At least.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a wet one shower where you're just kind of in a rush.
Oh, yeah.
You just kind of, you know.
That's the only type of shower there is.
What? A wet one. Speaking of fashion and style, first of all, you, very nice.
Thank
great
you.
Sweater. No? It's okay. They yeah. don't have fashion vlogs like I do.
Nice.
I don't have one of those. But Kawhi Leonard, new shoe. Right?
Love it.
Why is everyone laughing?
New Balances are very comfortable.
What do you
shoes.
Mean? Okay. Clap your hands if you've ever worn New Balance. Clap your hands if you own a pair of New Balance right now. Okay, so why is everyone laughing? I felt like that was the joke. It was like a, what are those for a New Balance shoe? But like, okay, what does it take to make a signature shoe cool then? Like, is he the guy that's going to be able to sell it?
I mean, people in Toronto will buy it because he's here, and obviously everyone wants
really?
It to stay.
If it's ugly, you'll buy it. I don't know. It still has to be nice to some extent.
I don't know. Toronto fans are crazy. They had a chance of We Love You the other day.
Oh, yeah. Joe Cash was tweeting about that. That's so embarrassing.
So they will definitely buy the shoe. But yeah, in terms of New Balance, obviously it didn't go well with so far. I don't think there's much heel change in terms of brand. He's not sexy enough for shoes.
Speak for yourself.
if that's what he was going for, though, he would have gone with, you know, Nike or maybe Adidas.
Well, because he turned down the Jordan extension for $20 million.
Yeah, so you knew he wasn't going to do that. But yeah, I think New Balance is just right on brand with him. If it hints, if it hints at anything, maybe, you know, if he wanted something sexier, he would have got. Maybe he won't go to LA now.
Wow.
You really brought that all the way around.
You heard it here first. He's not going to LA because he's wearing New Balance.
Tweet that.
LA
out.
Would not accept him and his New Balance.
I hope they're like the camper New Balances. Like, I hope they're really like just a walking shoe.
You know what? I like that. I always wanted Tim Duncan to partner with Birkenstock.
Yeah, exactly.
And do a signature Birk for Tim Duncan. No? You have to just be yourself.
Like, maybe there's an extra insole. Then that's all that he really does to redesign it. It's like, it's a kawaii insole for New Balance.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, Nike and Adidas aren't really signing huge players. Like, they basically decide early on in your career if you're going to be interested. Like, look at Ben Simmons or, like, Giannis. They're like, Nike's already got those guys. They're like, yeah, we're going to keep these guys. We're going to develop a strategy. It's going to be multiple years of marketing. Like, they basically decided somewhere, you know, a couple years ago that, like, Kawhi's not really going to be one of the guys that we invest a lot into, right? And part of that is because he's not flashy. Like, you're not seeing a lot of pictures of Kawhi, you know. He's not even on the bench when he rests, right? So, like, it's hard to see this guy. You only see him on the court. And you do see him a lot on the court because he's doing great things with the Raptors. But it's just hard to market that. I think that's basically where, you know, that's a sweet spot for other companies to jump in. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm, like, Nick DiPaolo or whatever. But it just seemed reasonable about that, like, New Balance. I think they went after Gordon Hayward. That didn't really go well because Anta swooped in and got Gordon Hayward. And, yeah, I mean, they basically need another guy. And Kawhi's, he fits New Balance, I think.
He's
you know?
A practical player, and it's a practical shoe.
It was
going to be the copy on that.
It was either New Balance
just
or
shrugging.
He's just like,
yeah. Holding them? New Balance or Skechers for Kawhi, you know?
Not Skechers, stop.
Not Skechers.
Why not?
It fits.
For Kawhi, yeah. Skechers
it's like too funky.
Yeah.
Like it's
too, too spicy. Yeah. It's like, yeah, people going to Zumba class wear Skechers. You know, Kawhi would never do
Kawhi
Zumba.
Kawhi would never.
He would maybe just walk.
He's just walking.
Yeah, it's a perfect walking shoe. And it's good for people with wide feet, apparently.
We got the Dr. Scholl insole, too. Yeah.
Kawhi insole.
Let me just get your take on Kawhi so far this season, because he's obviously an amazing player, and everyone can say, you know, the rust isn't completely off yet, whatever that tangibly means. He's finding his way into this offense, learning how to play with new players. The one thing that's really impressed me about him is that when I check a box score in the third quarter, something like, oh, Kawhi has 20? And you're like, okay, I knew you were doing things in the game, but when he quote-unquote is taking over or having a really good game, you don't really feel it. It's not like a Russell Westbrook feeling. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
you can disagree. It's okay.
Yeah. No, it's just it's been a while since the Raptors have had a legit superstar, right? So every time he gets the ball, you're excited to see what he'll do. So I think from that standpoint, you're kind of paying attention. So I keep track of that from that standpoint. In terms of where he is with his game, at his peak, he's probably a top three player. So I don't think he's near that right now. You'd probably put him in the top 10 somewhere. Probably not top five, because you got Steph, KD, Giannis,
Durant.
I already said LeBron. So yeah, he's not in the top five. But the good thing is he's doing all this. He's shooting terribly from two and three, so you expect that to pick up. I think the most encouraging thing was we saw the last couple games. He's getting the other guys involved better. You saw in Memphis the five assists. That's what you want to see. And if guys like Fred VanVleet start hitting their shots, he's going to be able to trust them more. And I think that's going to open up the offense more and just make things easier for him when he gets trapped with double teams.
Calm down over there. Relax.
Let me in. I agree with you. Like, I think he is a really quiet player, and it's taken me a while to get used to it. Like, you know, he's out there doing things, like big things, but it's not like, even for the Raptors, I think he's probably the least flashy player that they've had in the last little while. Like, all the young guys are, like, pretty explosive, and I think we've grown accustomed to that, and even just, like, the like, not always pretty playing style of the Raptors, you know, like, can sometimes be more explosive, whereas, like, Kawhi's just out there kind of, like, I don't want to say he's, like, plodding along, but sometimes just the pace of it, like, he's so big, and everything he does seems so relaxed and slow and just, like, easy. I really like it, but it's definitely like a change of speed for the team.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Kawhi's been great.
I don't mean he's been bad.
We're not saying he's been bad.
I think he's been amazing, but it's like I almost have to change the way I watch him.
Okay.
And like what
he's
I'm
looking
for.
He's not near his best.
Okay, how much of that is a function of expectation, right? Because like I think
I had zero expectations.
Really?
I was not behind this trade.
Wow.
Really?
Wait, that, how
so
do you feel?
Do you miss DeMar?
Yeah, every day. But I'm very happy for him. Like, it's the best, like, it's a whole other panel.
DeMar sitting for, like, 2 hours just silently in a jack-in-the-box after getting traded is, like, the saddest thing ever.
I can't even talk. Like, I don't want to talk about
it. He's, like, coming out of a movie. He's like, man, I just loved watching the Avengers.
I can't wait to avenge the Raptors, a preview of Wreck-It Ralph or something.
New season.
It's like, wow, look at that Thanos dude. He's heartless. And it's like, oh, whoa, Masai's calling me. And it's like, whoa. Damn. I think the Kawhi thing is just, partly I think it's just like how much expectation went into it. And I think that's always a difficult thing for Raptors fans in general to sort of manage. It's just like, you're basically like, everyone loves DeMar, and it's basically to justify the trade, which like, well, we got a top three player. And so you're expecting like, you know, Steph Curry, LeBron type of production every single night. And like, that's just not who Kawhi is. Like, first off, Kawhi is like, I think he isn't fully up to speed just yet. I mean, like, you're still seeing the fact that he's sitting on back-to-backs, but also like he's not like other stars where he'll try to do more just for the sake of getting more numbers. Like, he's very straight to the point. He wants to win the game. That's it. Like, you even saw against Memphis, not a lot of stars are going to finish the game shooting 11 field goals in 39 or 37 minutes, I think he played. But like, he's going to just basically find a way to get the job done. And I think aside from those the Celtics miss and also the dribbling off the foot in Detroit, I mean, he's been nothing short of incredible, I think, and I think he's really just going to get better from here.
I'm glad that Will brought that up, because it's actually been like his fumbles and his like really weird missteps that have endeared him more to me. Like, when
really?
He bounced the ball off his foot, I just was like, I don't know. It, like,
I thought you were going to be like, that's when I emailed Masai. And was like, listen.
DeMar would never.
DeMar has never, would never, can never. So who does he replace in your top five, though, if he hits his stride?
Giannis is probably the most likely for me.
Don't diss the former future.
Like that, man. It's a future
Raptor. The other four are LeBron, Steph, KD. I'm forgetting someone right now. Anthony Davis, right?
AD.
Right? So, yeah, I think Giannis is the most likely option for that he can get better than. Just because of the way he can impact the game, right? Like, to Will's point, he can have just 27, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and completely dominate the game, you know? He doesn't have to drop 40 and 15 or whatever it is, right? So I think that's what's special about him. He can be a top 3 player doing that. And I don't think he's gotten to that level yet. I don't think we'll see the best of him till maybe January or even later, but I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far, because for me, the floor was basically what we saw last season in San Antonio. So that was the floor for me, so he's far exceeded that. But in terms of ceiling, I think he still has further to go, because I think at his best, he's right there with KD. LeBron, he's in a class by himself.
I'm more surprised with how comfortable he seemed to be here so quickly. I don't know why, I guess because we hadn't heard from him for a year, so maybe you think he's kind of mute and like actually can't speak or something. But no, for real though, because that was the whole thing. He's so quiet, he doesn't talk, and then he's like giving us like, I don't think it's a gif or a meme because it is sound, but the laugh at the press conference, right, where everyone's like, oh, wait a second, like, what's that? And then now there's like a mini beef with Greg Popovich, and he's answering back to him through the media too, and that's something that surprised me for someone like him, because I didn't expect that kind of forwardness, I guess.
I think he's just like, being on the Raptors has really given him a chance to like step out of the shadow of this like kind of this legacy team. Like, he's the star here. Like, he by default of just coming here became the superstar here. So he's like, he's not just like hitting his stride on the court, he's like hitting his stride and his personality as well.
Yeah. I also think that, like, if you play for the Spurs, you're just, like, automatically labeled, and, like, the Spurs kind of, like, speak for you. You're, like, you don't really exist as your own person, really. You're just another person in the Spurs system, and it's like, wow, he doesn't talk, so he's definitely Tim Duncan. Definitely doesn't have personality, right. And it's like, I'm just like, okay, cool. I mean, it's like, well, I think he does have, you know, qualities. Like, he's just, obviously, he's reserved, and he's more reserved than most stars would be, but I think now that he's in Toronto, now that he's more in the spotlight, because he's more relevant than ever before, you're actually able to see these things. I think the Raptors actually done a really good job of, like, sort of putting Kawhi sort of in focus rather than compared to San Antonio, where I think San Antonio, maybe aside from OKC, is the team that really just, like, hides their players, and it's, like, organization first. Whereas, like, if you look across, like, most teams in the NBA, it's players first. And I think the Raptors have basically put Kawhi in the spotlight as much as possible, and we're seeing the result of that. It's like when you see, like, one actor, like, you know, like, breakthrough, and, like, all of a sudden, it's like Bradley Cooper, right? Bradley Cooper was, like, some extra in, like, he's just not that into you, and it's like, wow, okay, so he has his own random storyline, and then now he's, like, his own feature guy, and he can make movies with Lady Gaga and stuff,
that's
right?
It's a bad example, because he's not a good actor.
Oh, okay.
It's a terrible example.
He's, okay, well, I really just couldn't think of another actor in this case, but...
You're not even going to give him a lob, you just shut it right down?
I like Chris Pratt. Do you like Chris Pratt?
No.
Okay.
Oh, you weren't asking me. Sorry. Go ahead.
I stopped watching movies when Blockbuster shut down. Me and my dad used to get every single Jackie Chan movie, and that was, like, all I watched. So if it's not Chris Tucker or...
He's like an Adam Driver.
He's like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Kawhi is Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly sexy now, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Stepped into it.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I.
The Star Wars guy.
The Star Wars
no.
guy.
No.
He was in The F Word. Great movie. Set in Toronto.
I've only seen the original ones.
Is Darth Vader's son?
What?
We'll Google it later.
He's grandson.
Thank you. Look at that.
He's evil.
Well, so Kawhi's evil now. Okay.
No.
Great. We're getting a lot of quotes here. Okay. Finally, before we get you guys out of here, I do want your take. Can't come soon enough. just kidding. Finally, the Dwayne Casey, Nick Nurse beef. Like, I'm going to start with you, William, because you got, like, a little grin that crept across your face. Just go ahead and run with that, because that was very interesting to me, and I liked my Dwayne Casey like that, very brazen.
Yeah. I think the one thing with Dwayne is, like, he presents as an absolute gentleman, and he is.
He is, yes.
But, like, that doesn't mean he can't resent people, and I think there obviously is a deep thing there with Nurse. I still don't think it's completely clear what happened. But I think, you know, when the assistant sort of gets promoted in front of the incumbent, then you're just like, well, you know, there had to be some backstabbing. You just assume that. I don't know that, but that's, I guess, what you assume. But it's honestly just great to see, like, a 60-plus-year-old gentleman just, like hate one guy. You know, because, like, Dwayne Casey is so nice to everybody else. Like, LeBron swept him, like, twice, and, like, the Wizards swept, you know, Dwayne Casey's teams. And he never said anything like, oh, man, John Wall's not living up to his potential, or like LeBron is such a showman for spinning the ball in Serge Ibaka's face. But then when it comes to Nick Nurse, he's like, oh, bet, I've just, like, won on the home floor, I completely outcoached you, and then I'm gonna go to the opposite tunnel, even though I've been coaching here for 7 years, I know exactly where the tunnel is. I'm not gonna shake your hand, and I'm gonna celebrate the hell out of this November victory, even though my team's gonna be 500 and not do much in the playoffs. But, like, seriously, I just, like, love the pettiness, man. Yeah. I mean, like, it's like, you just, it's so weird to see it otherwise. Such a nice, calm dude just becomes so petty about one thing. And I'm praying for a Raptors-Pistons first-round series. Because, like, man, the hatred. First off, that's, like, 7 home games for the Raptors. So that's good, right? Like, we can actually afford playoff tickets if we go to Detroit.
To Detroit, yeah, that's nice. Maybe get a beer with a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. For sure, right? And, like, you know, Dwayne Casey's going to be mad salty when he gets swept again. It is what it is.
I really just want to see the coaching staffs play. Pickup.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Yo, he said, he's like, yo, if it's me versus Nick Nurse, then I would, you know,
like, I got him walked down.
Definitely. Nick Nurse probably doesn't have game, let's be real.
You don't think so?
No.
Compared to Dwayne?
You think he's more of like a 21 guy where Dwayne could, like, play some horse?
Dwayne played at Kentucky.
I know he did.
Yeah.
So you think Nick has no game?
No, not no game. I don't know. Dwayne's probably shutting them down. That's
okay. Dwayne's like Match.com, and then you're saying that like Nick's like Bumble. In terms of level of game.
Dwayne's like me, and Nick Nurse is like Blake Murphy. You know. Just kidding.
It's just like Bradley Cooper. I love it. I loved it. It was like everyone's fantasy scenario of when you get fired and then you can come back and have a bunch of guys dunk on the person that fired you. I think it was really important, and I think he's probably just going to like chill right out now. Like he got that one. And then whatever.
That's a season.
Yeah, but it might very well be their season. But he got it. I liked how like petty, like even Blake Griffin got. Like everybody got a little bit like jabby with their comments. I don't know. They support him. They like their guy. And I won't get into it, but I also don't really like how that went down. So it's good for Dwayne.
Yeah, I think it's fun that the Raptors are getting in on all the petty, right? You look at Masai and DeRozan. You look at now with Casey and Nurse. You look at Kawhi and Popovich. I think it's fun. You look at all the beef that goes on around the league. And I think this is healthy because it's a rivalry. It's not Washington where it's your own teammates.
Or like so many teams right now. Everyone is just like combusting.
Well, it all started with fuck Brooklyn, didn't it? The trickle-down effect with, like, the brazenness and the pettiness, and then it slowly became part of the Toronto Raptors, I guess, at this point.
I hope Masai doubles down when he lifts the championship trophy, and he just goes and looks at DeMar and Dwayne Casey and was like, this is why we finally won. I hope he goes all out with it, because honestly, that's the only way he gets vindicated
to
now.
To Doris?
Yeah,
she's Doris there Burke. With an interview.
He like so interrupts Masai. Like Kawhi's like MVP presentations. Like, by the way, Dwayne Casey, I hope you're watching this at home. Like, just do that.
This is
like,
why, go all DeMar, the way with that, this you know? Is why. All right, on that note, this is why you guys came for commentary like this. So give a round of applause for our first panel, please. William, Katie, and Vivek. This is the part of the show where you go get a quick drink, run to the bathroom if you have to, and we'll be back in 8 to 10 minutes.